you'll be able to get it. Well, we're about 3 minutes or less away from our hard 7:30 break. So,
okay.
I did introduce you as having been Maine's Women in the Woods president. And,
yeah, Women of the Maine Outdoors.
And when did that start?
We have been around for about 3 years. We stem from the Becoming an Outdoor Woman program.
Mm-hmm.
But our board actually, it's funny because you were just talking about getting your guide's license.
Right.
Any woman that wants to go on and do that, regardless of where she is going to go, as long as there is a cost associated with it, she can apply to Women of the Maine Outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an application process. We meet just about every month, and we will pay up to half of the total cost for guide school, as long as, you know, it's a good application and, and we're excited about it. So, you know, we want to help as many women as we can become guides.
Right. And you know, I'll only share my own experience. It's kind of like putting the cart before the horse. You can't really build up clientele or see what guiding's like if you're not a guide.
Right.
Pursue the guide's license and then take it from there, and how far you want to take it, you know, is up to an individual. There's some people that have their guide's license and they really never did anything with it, never do anything with it. And then there are others that do exercise it and get into it. And I encourage anybody who's even contemplating that to look into that. So
we've had at least 3 women that I know of who have gone through and gotten a scholarship with us that now have their own hunting outfits.
Okay.
That they run on their own. And so you have Catherine Malachy, who's up near the Alton area.
Yeah.
And then Deanna Page, who is the president of the Maine Bow Hunters.
Yes, I'm familiar with her.
Yeah, she has her own place too. And so it's exciting to see these women taking charge, and, you know, they have clients that are coming year after year to go bear hunting or to go deer hunting. And, you know, we're spearheading this big movement and hopefully getting more people outside hunting.
Oh, good. Well, stay with us. We'll be right back with more Maine Outdoors and Erin Merrill after these messages. Welcome back to the Maine Outdoors. I'm your host for the evening, Jim Thorne from the Northwoods Sporting Journal. And if you're listening to us tonight, you're listening to us on 103.9 FM out of Bangor, 101.3 FM out of Augusta, and AM 1450 in Rockland. And if you have a question or a topic that you'd like to talk about, please feel free to give us a call tonight. 1-800-966-1039. 1-800-966-1039. And with us tonight on the phone is Erin Merrill from Women of the Maine Outdoors. But Erin, before we get going, we have a caller that has called in, and his name is Erin.
Erin, you there?
Hi, Erin. Are you there?
How's it going?
Good. Where are you calling in from?
Well, I'm calling from Warren.
Warren, okay. And
yeah, I was just calling in a few weeks ago. I called in and talked when Arthur was on your show there, Arthur Allen, and I called and told him that I had a grouse in my brush pile at my camp there.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's listening, I wanted to call in and let him know that she had 10 eggs and 9 successfully hatched.
Wow.
Yep. We were up there last weekend, and I looked in there on her nest there, and she had 9 out of 10 eggs that successfully hatched. And I was just calling in to give him an update if he's listening this evening.
Well, that's great.
I thought he'd be interested in that.
Absolutely. Do you have any pets in the area?
Well, we have a black lab. I kept her away from it. But,
okay.
But I was quite excited to see that 9 out of the 10 eggs that she had laid had hatched. I was pretty
excited. That's pretty good.
That's great. Hopefully that's a litmus test for the rest of the species. And I think it's been pretty dry.
It has. We've had good hatches of ducklings this year.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because I know when I called in, Arthur had said that, you know, between 4 and 6 eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And because I hadn't looked at the nest, but last week when we went up, there was actually 10 in there, and 9 of them had hatched. So I was, that's pretty impressive. So I just wanted to call. If he's listening, I thought he'd enjoy knowing that information.
Well, good. I'm glad you did. And like I say, it's good on you for being able to find the clutch. That's not a easy task.
No. It was about 15 feet from my front door at my camp. So
oh, there.
I got lucky.
Wow. Well, good. Thanks for calling in and following up with that.
Yeah, no problem. You guys have a great night. You're doing a good show. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for listening, Aaron.
Yep, thank you.
Hey. All right. If you're just joining us, our guest on the phone tonight is Aaron Merrill. She is a writer, outdoor writer for the Northwoods Sporting Journal and also a member of the New England Outdoor Writers Association. And she's the president and co-founder of Women of the Maine Outdoors, a nonprofit group. And Aaron, I'm awful happy to have you on the show tonight. You've been on the show before with V. Paul Reynolds.
I have. And shout out to him if he's listening, you know, from the West Branch.
Well, hopefully he's within earshot. If not, well, I'm sure that he's got good fishing reasons, so who can blame him?
Right.
And we were talking about the Moose Lottery. You were a committee member on the Moose Fest in Skowhegan.
Yeah.
And had you been involved in that before, Skowhegan?
I have not. I was part of the committee, and we got together probably a year and a half ago, maybe even longer,
right?
And wrote letters to the commissioner and sort of made our case about why Skowhegan would be a great location.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute that it was announced in Caribou, it was go time.
Well, there. So
the committee started meeting, figuring out, you know, the layout of the fairgrounds. Christina Cannon and Mary Haley from Main Street Skowhegan were sort of the go-to people, and there's probably 10 of us on the committee, including like Denise Merchinson from Silverton Sporting Camp, Caroline Lila Ware. So it was really nice to sort of have the local outdoor folks come together to figure out how are we really going to make this Moose Festival a 3-day stellar event.
And
we're all sort of still riding the high from the event because it was awesome.
I can tell you that I'm a little bit of a Moose Lottery aficionado.
Yeah.
I've been to quite a few Moose Lotteries from Greenville, Bethel, Rangeley, Presque Isle, all of Kittery.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that of all the ones that I've been to, the Skowhegan, what you did there was top-notch.
Awesome. Thank you.
That was, I got nothing but great reviews from everybody who attended, from the vendors, from the flow of everything. It was traffic, plenty of parking. It was right there. The moose, the world's record moose calling, which I think we can be optimistic about that, right?
I'm pretty confident in saying that we totally blew it out of the water.
Yeah, I think they were going for something north of 995 or something like that.
Yeah. Yep, that was like the minimum number that we could have.
Mm-hmm.
And they had 1,600 wristbands made up, and we blew through those. And so the grandstands were filled. We had counters.
Right.
We actually had to set up a camera to face the grandstand.
Right. This was part of the prerequisite
World Records
to qualify. Yeah.
So that we actually had to record the entire grandstands from 9 a.m. when the actual festival started through 2 o'clock because we did the moose call at 2:15.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to send it in to Guinness, and they will, I guess, sit there and count the number of people that we had in the grandstand. And it'll be about 3 months before we know for sure. But just given the fact that we burned through those wristbands, we're pretty confident that we've done it.
Yeah. Well, it was,
good thing it wasn't ranked choice.
Oh, don't get me started on that.
We'd never find out.
Well, it was a very fun time. It was a very nice day. It went off without a hitch, as far as I know. I mean, everything was ran very smooth.
Any moose burgers?
Yeah. We ended up having about 76 vendors, and we had, I think, about 20 food vendors.
Mm-hmm.
So we're having our debrief this upcoming week, and we're hoping that if we can go back to the commission, well, Chandler's phasing out, but go back to IFNW and say, you know, here's the number of people we can accommodate, here's what we want to do, please come back soon.
And, yeah, great location. I think he announced next year is going to be down at Cabela's in Scarborough.
Yep.
That's next year's Moose Lottery. I don't know if they have a date, but it's usually sometime in mid-June like this this was. So
that place will be full.
Go for it.
I don't think I'll like the one down at Cabela's as much as I did this one.
Right?
Because
you're going to wait 3 more years before you have another Moose Lottery like you did.
I was telling everybody for probably 12 years I've been going to these, and I get to, you know, ask if I, you know, can I call some names off, and you get to read through the list and where they're from and town and name and everything. And I got the list, and I looked down real quick through it, and of course, there I was. And I said, wow. I said, you guys messing with me? And why do you mean? Oh, my name's on the list.
Right?
Nope. So, yeah, it's a fun time, and there were a lot of people there that that were drawn, and it's really exciting when you get somebody there that that gets a moose lottery, and you know they know that they're going to go on a moose hunt. So,
Aaron, I'd like to brag on you a little bit. Would you tell us what you have bagged so far?
I have bagged many a deer. I'm still waiting on a turkey, but then I have my bear that I'm actually sitting on right now as I'm calling in.
So you've done it all, hunting, pretty much, except for the moose.
Yes.
And the coyote.
Yes, I do have a coyote.
And
it's actually, I have a coyote hanging up in my office, and my one-year-old daughter, it is her absolute favorite thing. And so she comes in and sort of rubs its tail. That's how you make outdoor kids.
Yeah.
You make all these sort of like dead animals and pelts and bones, skulls. Totally normal and exciting.
Right.
And then they get excited about it as well.
And a lot of times, I'm guilty of it myself too. Sometimes I get to the point where I get a little complacent with how much I know and how much we've experienced. And it gets a little, you know, I don't want to say monotonous, but sometimes we take for granted these special outdoor things that, you know, kids or, in my case, the grandkids haven't experienced. And my grandson recently, we believe that he's going with us on the moose hunt, at least for Monday, the first day.
Awesome.
And he's to the point now where he has his own phone, so he can text me. So I told him, I said, if you got any questions for Papa, you text him, and I'll answer. Well, didn't he get on a roll the other night? He was talking about shotgun and shotgun sizes. And
how old is he?
He's 11.
Oh, boy.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
so
perfect.
I told him we'd, you know, have him shoot the 410, and, you know, doesn't have quite a bit of kick, but it's a good, you know, starter gun, and feels like somebody just kind of punching you in the shoulder real light, you know, nothing bad.
Yep. And my son has no desire to shoot a gun. He's all about a bow and arrow.
Yeah, well.
That's his thing, is he wants a bow, and he wants to take a black bear, and he wants to take a grizzly bear, and somehow wildebeest fit on his list of things to hunt. All of it.
Probably watching Buck McNeely.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, good. Aaron, stay with us. Just don't go anywhere. We take this opportunity to brag up our friend Al Elkin down there at General Appliance and Brewer. He is probably one of the most well-known propane and appliance gurus in Central Maine, and his reach goes far beyond Central Maine in Brewer. And I talked to him earlier this week, and he was talking, and he wanted me to know that he has some gas leftover gas refrigerators from last fall. So they're new appliances that he has in stock, and he's marked them down. So if you're looking for gas refrigerator, now's the time to take advantage and give him a call or go see him. And he also has the Amish-built Mid-State gas light, which is three times brighter than the old Humphrey, the one that...
And a lot quieter.
We know. And quieter. You know, probably doesn't sound like a blowtorch going on up there, but he has a bunch of those that he wanted to make sure that we got out. And he also does parts and service for the console brand of gas refrigerators that was popular for years. Even though they're out of production now, he has them. They do parts and service for those.
And Cervell.
Yeah, and Cervell. And he also does some of the composting toilets.
Ride the wave, baby. Throne's fit for king and queen.
Let's see. And he said, and Patty is there. Yeah. Patty will help anybody that that comes in. She's very knowledgeable about the appliances or refrigerators or ranges or gas lights. And Jim, you know, she's quite a salesperson
sure
as well.
Patty and I worked together for about 10 or 15 years.
Okay.
Before I retired, and she can sell.
Yeah.
Believe me.
And he's got Case in there, and she takes care of everything over in the office. And, just you know, as he says, pay no attention to the lady behind the curtain. you don't see much of her, but you can hear a giggle a bit. So
a wonderful place to visit.
Yeah,
a wonderful
yeah.
place for your appliances, gas or electric.
And he's also just everything for service. I had a friend that had camp up north by Ashland, and he was asking if I knew anybody, and I said, "Geez," I said, "I would start with Al Elkin. If you got anything, gas appliance or any appliance, general appliance, call Al." And if he doesn't have it, he will tell you where to go.
You know, 20 years ago, maybe a little bit more, I bought a used appliance, a washer and dryer from him. And they're still at the camp, and they are still working great. And they were refurbished by him.
Yeah, and he'll do service work in the greater Bangor area.
Yep.
If he doesn't have the part on hand, often he can get it the next day.
Or he can help you over the phone.
Yeah. And I wish I had his phone number right now. It starts with a 989. I don't have it. I slap myself on the hand because I'm ill prepared.
We're going to have it for you.
He's not that far away. General Appliance,
go ahead,
Center Street and Brewer.
Scotty's got
it. I've got it. I got two different numbers for him here.
Okay.
One is 207-989-3714.
That sounds awful familiar.
Yeah, that's one we usually, and then there's another one on his card of 207-989-4341.
Yep, I think the first one. What's the first one? 989?
The first one's 989-3714.
That's the one you want to call. 3714, folks.
Al Elkin over at General Appliance.
And he could take care of you.
And he's been helping us here on the Main Outdoors for many years, so. All right, and my guest this evening is none other than outdoor writer, Women in the Woods, Erin Merrill of Northwoods Sporting Journal fame, I say. How long have you been writing for the Northwoods Sporting Journal, Erin?
Oh, 4 years, I think.
Is it? Yeah.
Wow, how time flies.
Yeah.
I believe so, yeah.
And you do
a
blog.
I've had my blog for 9 years.
Yeah, you do a blog called In a Strong Cup of Coffee. I love that blog. I really do.
And what else should anybody know, Erin, that you want to talk about tonight? Because, like I say, everybody out there who has, you know, the daughters and the granddaughters and the young people in general, you know, to introduce them to the outdoors at a young age, that's key. And it's never too late. And
I always have friends that are interested in it. And, you know, they're sort of like, how do you go into the woods and kill a deer? Like, what do you have to do? And I always offer, you know, if you want to come with me and get up super early and come sit in a tree stand, I am happy to have you come.
Yeah.
I've even offered to have my friends, you know, I say that I wouldn't take a gun, but I can't guarantee that if it's hunting season and I haven't filled my tag. But just to get them out there to realize, you know, that hunters experience something totally different than non-hunters, because there's something to be said for sitting in the woods and watching the sunrise, or, you know, listening to those first birds wake up. And it's just, it's really, I don't know, there's something magical about it that I think non-hunters don't really realize. And so getting people, anyone at any age, interested in the outdoors, and, you know, it could be looking for deer tracks in the snow,
mm-hmm.
or something, you know, going fishing or picking berries, picking mushrooms,
right?
Anything like that, just to get them to experience what we have to offer and why we're so passionate about being outside ourselves.
Right. And I think a lot of times, what I mentioned earlier, sometimes we take for granted what we know and, you know, sharing that with other people, you know, being able to go out and you know, show somebody something, if it's just how to canoe down, you know, a stream.
One of the most important things I found with my father was a guide, and I went along with him like Little Beaver, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Took care of the fires, did the cooking and whatnot, was making sure that your clients are comfortable. They have the correct clothing on, so they're not cold. If they get wet, they can get dry or warm.
Mm-hmm.
And keeping them comfortable is the main thing. The rest of it will just fall right into place.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Right, because if you're out deer hunting and you're cold, and you're just, at that point, you're counting down the minutes until you can leave.
Sure.
You're not focused on listening to anything. You're focused on how cold you are.
Yeah. We've all been there.
Yeah.
And I'm taking my grandson out, and, you know, he may only be out there maybe 5 minutes, I don't know, for whatever reason. And he'd say, you know, can we go back in? Well, yeah, we can go back in. You know, you don't keep him out there and say, no, we're out here fishing. You're going to stay out here. You know.
Right.
Take it to their limit, whatever that may be. It might be 5 minutes. It might be a half an hour. But when they say they're ready to go back in, take them back in.
Yep.
Because that keeps it fun for them, and they remember that it was fun for a little while, and that, you know, they can pick go back
perch
out.
Fishing where they catch a lot.
Yeah.
Keep them busy. Boy, it doesn't matter what they catch. They're having fun.
Yeah. And, you know, that's, you never know what it's going to end up being.
That's right.
Oh, well, exactly.
He liked playing with the bait fish more than fishing. And, hey, if that's what he wants to do, that's what you let him do.
That's right.
Well, and, I mean, shout out to my dad on Father's Day. But I was interested in going deer hunting, and I was 20 years old. And he let me put on, like, my snowmobile gear because I didn't have any hunting clothes at the time. And, you know, go trudging through the leaves.
Yeah, he wanted you to stay warm.
Everything. Right, I wanted to stay warm. I was sweaty by the time we got to the top of the hill. But he let me go. I was snapping branches. I mean, that was a hot mess in the woods. But he stuck with it, and he knew that if I wanted to be out there, he was going to teach me how to be out there. And now I sort of look back and go, God, it's been 15 years of me writing about hunting and going on bear hunts and coyote hunts and turkey hunting and fishing and, you know, trapping and, you know, I have beaver in my freezer and all these interesting, cool things that I wouldn't have been able to do had my dad said, you know what, sit this one out and we'll go some other time. You know, he let me go behind him in the woods and make a ridiculous amount of noise just because I was interested and he wanted me to be out there with him.
And I have no better example than that than I have the June issue of the Northwoods Sporting Journal, and I'm looking at your column, and there's a baby.
There is. She's something.
Yeah.
I was on maternity leave, and my friend Stacy said, you know, the fish are biting, and I said, perfect, I have a carrier. Let's go.
So that's
what we did.
Yeah, always be able to show that one and say, that's your first trip out right there. So
exactly. Dead River.
Well, Aaron, do you have anything coming up that you'd like to let anybody know about? Anything on the radar or down the road as far as with the writing or with Women of the Maine Outdoors?
Women of the Maine Outdoors. Right now, we're doing two things. We're looking for donations to help us be able to provide more scholarships. But we're also looking for new board members.
Okay.
And so anyone that's interested in sort of joining our group, helping to spread the word,
mm-hmm.
can contact us through our website, which is womenofthemaineoutdoors.com. And, you know, we have a really, we're partnering with Women Owning Woodlots, which
okay.
is through the Forest Guild. And there's a couple cool classes coming up about, you know, how do you run a chainsaw?
Mm-hmm.
If you were to have never touched one before, how do you pick it up, maneuver it, cut trees,
yeah.
and be able to be safe about it?
Right.
We partnered with them before, and they've done full-day classes about, you know, okay, you own a piece of woods. How do you manage it?
Mm-hmm.
Be it for wildlife or invasive species or just cutting the trees down. So it's a lot of really cool things that we're looking to be able to provide these opportunities to women across the state of Maine.
Yeah, and things are so much more open and involved now than it was many, many years ago, where it was mostly strictly a male sport. Now it is, mm-hmm. I bring my wife out fishing whenever I can, and we're going to take her out bird hunting and do some of these different experiences. So they have it, and either they'll, you know, gravitate to it and want to do it again, or say, okay, that was a unique experience, but I'm okay.
Right.
You go bird hunting and I'll stay home. But
a lot,
you know,
of them like photography too. Go follow along and take
yeah.
a lot of pictures.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's
well, it's funny because at the moose lottery, I had more women that had gone bear hunting come over and talk to me
mm-hmm.
Than I did probably any other type of hunt. So that always gets me excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. New territories. Nothing is off the table.
No.
Aaron, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your Father's Day call us up and talk with people listening to the Maine Outdoors about
yeah.
women of the Maine Outdoors.
Well, and happy Father's Day to all of you guys.
And how appropriate. So if you ever get an opportunity, call up, stop in, say hi. We always want to know when you're heading north, and look forward to reading your columns every month in the Northwoods Sporting Journal and your next adventure. And I'll let you know how I did up at Mechanimac, Haymock Lake. I always learn a little bit something more and try to share it with everybody. And I do want to say I had great luck with that little green drake dry fly up there last June. So I've got many of them in our pocket. Well, join us here again next week. I don't know if V. Paul will be back. I assume he will be. But you never know who's
the
guest going to
be.
But join us right here on the Maine Outdoors.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thanks.
Say hi to the old man.